All right, hello and welcome back to another episode of Just a Girl from Cleveland. This is episode 134. It is officially playoff time. I know the Browns obviously already officially clinched the playoffs as of the Jets game, but had to get through this last Browns-Bengals game, which was pretty much a fake football game is the best way I could describe it. I'm going to get into just like a couple of thoughts from that, but I don't think anyone wants like a deep dive on that Browns-Bengals game, just considering how many starters were sitting and the fact that it was like, please just get through this without any major injuries to any important players or really any players in general. So definitely going to briefly touch on that. But obviously the bigger topic of conversation is the Browns matchup in the playoffs in this first round with the Houston Texans. So that will be kind of the main thing I want to get into here. Before we get into all things this season, I did want to touch on something for the 2024-2025 season, which is the Browns' opponents are officially locked in based on regular season record. There's always, I think, three games where your standings within the division decide who you are matching up with in these specific divisions each year. So our home games, these are obviously other than the division teams. We play all of the division teams home and away, so this is excluding them. At home, we have Miami, the Chargers, Cowboys, Giants, and Kansas City. That one obviously stood out to me because who knows if my girl Taylor Swift could be making her way to Cleveland where she needs to visit Travis's hometown. So I don't know. We'll see. I've got my eye on that one though, for sure. And then the away matchups, we have Denver, Las Vegas, Eagles, which we already knew those three at least. And I believe we already also knew Commanders. And then the two of them that we just figured out are Jaguars and Saints, because they are also second in their division. So obviously, you know, it matters a little for those matchups that you are getting in future seasons based on where you land. But in general, you know, everyone's kind of playing just the schedule that is handed to them that year. Lots of cool away locations that I think fans are going to be looking forward to. Some fun cities: Vegas, Denver, Philly, Jacksonville, New Orleans. New Orleans would be kind of, I think, a fun trip for a lot of Browns fans. So definitely looking forward to that in the future, but we do have to obviously focus on this season first. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we have a lot of good football, hopefully, to be played still. So to quickly touch on Browns Bengals, Jeff Driscoll got the start in this game, which I kind of expected because I felt like Kevin Stefanski knows who PJ Walker is as a quarterback. He knows what he has to offer at this time. I would think that he would want to see Jeff Driscoll in this offense just to, you know, last case scenario, if God forbid Joe Flacco gets hurt and you need to put someone else in, you would like to have had Jeff Driscoll get some experience in the offense or at least see what he looks like so that you can make an educated decision on which quarterback that you would like to put in at that point in time. He has not announced who QB2 is going to be yet, so I think that decision is still going to be made. I mean, it's not like a great decision to have to make because neither of them are really super talented or bringing any extra juice one over the other. I don't know. I feel like maybe PJ has a slight edge because he's been with this team for a little bit longer, knows the guys a little bit better. You know, he did get a couple of different wins, even against the San Francisco 49ers. So I think, you know, he probably gets the edge in my book, but obviously that's a decision that I hope that they don't have to make and that Joe Flacco is healthy as can be throughout the entire playoff run here. So overall, just obviously a weird game from the start. You could tell that it didn't really matter to either team, quite frankly, and that the Browns had a ton of starters sitting and just really reminds you how impactful just a couple people can be on a team on one side of the ball, how having them out really just changes the entirety of what you can do as a team. So It was slow and pretty brutal to watch. The only times the Bengals have beat us in these last couple of seasons have been in these meaningless end of the season games. There was the one, oh gosh, is that 2 years ago now? It was Baker Mayfield's last game where he ended up sitting out, and the Browns were statistically eliminated from the playoffs at that point in time. Bengals were in, so the game did not matter. Bengals ended up winning that one, and then they got this one as well. Any of the important games that actually mean something, the Browns have been taking those for these last couple of seasons under Kevin Stefanski. So, I'm not gonna pretend like this game means anything for what I think they can do in the playoffs. I will say the only thing that is a bummer about having this last game not be important is the fact that you really build momentum throughout the regular season. And I think what the Browns have done these last couple of weeks with Joe Flacco has built so much momentum for them, one performance after another, that you do worry that if they kind of have let that go here, that that could potentially have an effect on them in the playoffs and that you kind of halted that momentum that they had building together. But obviously you just hope that that's not the case, and that they just kind of knew what the role of this game was and they're working towards things in the future. Okay, so let's get into playoffs. So had a lot of guys speaking to the media today. We had Kevin speak to the media. We had Joe Flacco speaking to the media. I saw some quotes from JOK. The JOK quotes were really cool, just in him talking about the atmosphere in the locker room right now and the way that everyone is interacting with each other, and just the intensity that has happened because of how seriously everyone is taking this playoff run. Guys staying in, you know, later after practice, coming in early, sending different, you know, texts to each other about a certain play or a certain coverage, or just the communication is at a whole nother level right now and everyone knows the task at hand. So it's good to hear that that is happening behind the scenes in the locker room, and how seriously they're taking this. And then Joe Flacco kind of talked about just his perspective, you know, on the playoffs and really just the importance of focusing on fundamental football in these moments, not trying to get too ahead of yourselves and picture these big moments or let the moment kind of overtake you. Just really thinking about what you have done throughout practice since they started back in, honestly, Greenbrier, and all the way up until now. You just hope you've built enough throughout that 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 can just take over during the game and you're not overthinking things and letting the moment kind of be too big for you. So I think this is a moment where I've appreciated Joe Flacco for a lot of things, but I really appreciate him, I think, to be a part of this playoff run because he brings so much experience. He has won a Super Bowl. He has been a part of playoff runs many times throughout his career and understands what it takes and understands what the mindset should be. And I think that's going to rub off on these other guys, especially the younger guys who have never been a part of it, the guys on the Browns who weren't a part of, you know, the 2020 experience, the guys on the Browns who have been on other teams that have never been in the playoffs. Like, I think he brings something to the table that no one else really does. So I think that's going to be really beneficial for all of them. Like I already mentioned, obviously we're playing the Texans. The Jaguars blew it. The Jags blew it. I have not seen a downfall of a team like this in a while. Mid-season, they were leading the AFC. It was like Peterson, Coach of the Year, Trevor Lawrence, MVP. They were riding high, and then at one point they rattled off four straight losses, got a win against the Panthers last week, and then completely fell apart against the Titans, who only had four wins prior to that game this season and just fired their head coach, which I don't know how I feel about them firing him, not to completely change the topic, but I think Vrabel is a great coach, and if the Buckeyes want to make that call, Buckeyes should make that call, because I think he is going to get a head coaching job somewhere else. But nonetheless, that team was four 4 wins going into their matchup against the Jags, and the Jags completely fell apart. So I think they have a lot of self-reflection to do this offseason about what happened there and what they need to do to not have that happen this coming year. Obviously, I had mentioned on this podcast, I would have much rather played the Jags than the CJ Stroud Texans. The Texans beat the Colts in their final game, obviously giving them the upper hand between either them and the Jags. And so the Texans it is. And watching that Texans-Colts game, I do have a little bit of fear in playing CJ Stroud. I think that game was so beneficial for him to have because that felt like a playoff atmosphere, because both of those teams obviously didn't know the result of the Jags game yet. That would happen the next day. So those two teams really, they were in a position where they were playing for their playoff hopes, and so it felt like a playoff atmosphere, and that does definitely make me even more concerned, I guess, about CJ because he has gotten used to that environment and played very well in that environment. The Texans, similar to the Browns, I feel like are a team that's playing with house money, where Texans have a different circumstance, I would say, because they had, you know, rookie QB, ended up finding a lot of success. Browns was more based on injuries and then ended up finding a lot of success. But two teams that a lot of people probably would have not expected to be here given the circumstances. So I think they're both just excited and pumped to go forward. I'm interested to see what the atmosphere in Houston's going to look like. I did look at Houston plane tickets from Cleveland. I think about now they're about around like $1,000 to fly to Houston, so not going to happen. But I think I hope there's maybe some Browns fans that are flying in from other areas or driving from local areas that live in Texas or whatever, because it would be good to have like a little bit of a Browns atmosphere there. Or if you can afford the $1,000 plane tickets, then you should do that too. So the Browns got the Saturday 4:30 game, first game of the weekend. I was not super shocked by this. I thought that just based on the other teams and storylines out there, it wasn't going to shock me if the Browns and Texans were to get that 4:30 lineup. It's not one of the more coveted times throughout the weekend, so didn't really surprise me. Look, the positives in this matchup, I think, not to just like say, oh, I'm scared of CJ Stroud. Amari Cooper in the Texans matchup back in December, Christmas Eve, that was his 265 yards receiving game, where he just cooked those DBs and they had no shot against him. You hope that you have a similar result as that. Obviously, I think the Texans are probably going to rethink what they did defensively in that game and try to have a different approach. So hopefully Amari and the rest of those guys can still get open, have success in the way they did in that game. I think obviously that game is also different than now because CJ Stroud was out the first time around and now you have him. So it really is a completely different football team. So it's hard to compare the two games, even though they are happening so closely in time. The downside for the Browns is that Dustin Hopkins is most likely not going to be back, according to Kevin Stefanski, which is a huge bummer. I think he has been such a huge part of this team's success and has been so reliable for him. I'm sad for him, too, that he doesn't get to be a part of it. I'm sure that that feels like a bummer. He did, though, mention that Grant Delpit might have a shot of coming off the IR for this game. I don't know when they will know that for sure, but pretty crazy for him to have come back the way he did. I know a couple weeks ago he signed his contract, next day injury, hopped on the IR. So would be really nice to have him back and have another piece there on that defense who has been, you know, almost a Pro Bowl level player this season. So we shall see. Okay, so the other playoff matchups, I wanted to get into those ones a little bit as well. We have the Saturday night game is Dolphins versus Chiefs. So weather is looking pretty shaky for that game. Going to be like 5 degrees in Kansas City. And that's why the Dolphins-Bills game this past week was so important, not just for seating and matchup, but for location, because the Dolphins would have been able to be at home in sunny Miami, and instead they're going to very cold Kansas City on the road. It's just a completely different environment. So that was, I'm sure, a tough thing for them to have lost that second seed. And that honestly was another one of the major downfalls of this season, where they pretty much were up like three games just a couple weeks ago on the Bills in the division. It felt like they had it pretty much locked in, and then the Bills kind of rumbled back and the Dolphins started to drop some games. That's why it's just, you can't trust anything like mid-season. Even nothing is locked up, you got to keep winning every single week. If I were to predict that game, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think the weather is going to be a huge factor, and I do not think that the Dolphins are going to be prepared for that. I know the Chiefs have not been the same this season, but it's so hard to doubt Patrick Mahomes and to doubt who he is as a quarterback and what he's done in the playoffs and just all the postseason success he's had. I am not ready to pick against him, especially in a cold weather environment where you have a warm weather team coming into your house. I'm going to take the Chiefs in that one. Sunday at 1, we have the Steelers and Bills. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers managed to beat the Ravens 1 in this last game. The Ravens with Tyler Huntley and backups, and they were celebrating in the locker room. And 2, the fact that they were able to get to 10 wins and make it in the playoffs, it's just, it's really incredible stuff that they just keep doing this. But they will be facing the Buffalo Bills at 1 o'clock in Buffalo on Sunday. I'm taking the Bills in that game just because I trust Josh Allen more than I do Mason Rudolph. I don't think that's a very controversial statement to make. I think that's going to be a rowdy environment. It's not that far of a drive from Pittsburgh to Buffalo, so I could see a lot of Steelers fans showing up there as well. But I think just based on what Buffalo has been doing these last couple of weeks, I know they still have their bad moments. Josh still has 2 picks a game that are just horrendous and horrible to watch, and I'm sure very painful for Bills fans, but I trust the Bills more than I do this Steelers team. This Steelers team that will be without TJ Watt too. It is confirmed that he will not be playing. So we have that game. Then 4:30 on Sunday. It's funny, it goes all AFC games and then all NFC games. I just realized that the first 3 games are all AFC. Sunday 4:30, we have Packers at Cowboys. I think this should end up being a decent game. The Packers have really turned things around this season. Jordan Love has found a rhythm. I expect for that to be a competitive game. I feel like I'm still going to pick the Cowboys as the winner of this game, although this is one I truly could see going either way. That will definitely be an interesting one. All of the NFC matchups, for the most part, I think are pretty interesting, especially this next one, Sunday night, 8:15, Rams-Lions. You've got Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff, quarterback swap, facing off in the playoffs. I think that is probably the best storyline of the weekend. Very interested to see just crowd reaction, how this entire game is going to go. I feel like this is a game that the NFL would want to script out. They would say, we would love to have this matchup in the playoffs, and they got it. And I think that's pretty cool and exciting for those fan bases and just for all of us who like to watch football. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. I actually, though, am sneaky going to pick the Rams. I know that the Lions are the higher seed. I know that the Lions have probably been overall the better team this year. Just something tells me that, I don't know. I just feel like the Rams are going to do it. It's not one of those where I have like a detailed explanation, because I think, similar to Packers Cowboys, I think this game could be extremely competitive. I just have a feeling on this one. The Rams is who I'm taking there. Monday Night Football, we have a very interesting game in Eagles-Bucks. I think the Eagles have slowly started to fall apart in these last couple of weeks, just really crumbling in a lot of important matchups, ended up losing the division, and also are, you know, heading here on, I think they dropped maybe a seed again this past week, and will be heading on the road here to the Bucks. I think the Bucks also, though, have not been that good. They're in one of the worst divisions in the league. It was not hard, I would say, to win that division. So I don't think they're, you know, a super talented team. I think they scored, what, like 3 field goals against the Panthers to end the season. So I'm not feeling too strongly about the performances that either of these teams have been putting up in the last couple of weeks. But I am taking the Eagles just because I do trust, I keep saying this of the quarterback situations, but Jalen Hurts more than I do Baker Mayfield and just the entirety of the roster. They were in the Super Bowl last year. I think experience matters a lot in these moments. And I think after what I watched from the Bucks against the Panthers this past week, I have a really hard time picking them, even though it's going to be a home game for them. So that is all the games. Obviously, Ravens and 49ers have the byes. Gonna be an awesome weekend. I'm really excited about it. And we will see who moves on to the next weekend. Okay, so I have a couple of mailbag questions to close things out here. I just picked 3 questions here for today. The first one is, what's the most 2023-2024 way this Browns game could go? So I kind of wanted to answer this, I feel like, in 2 different ways because, gosh, the 2023-2024 Browns is so different from the Cleveland Browns I've known my entire life. I think the Cleveland Browns my entire life, my prediction would be that they lose on a really awful pass interference call that wasn't pass interference in overtime and end up losing. I think that would probably be what I would say for the entirety of my life before this year. For this version of the Cleveland Browns, I would say that the most this team way it could end would be like a Hail Mary for Joe Flacco to win the game at the very end. Like, that would be the perfect way to describe this team. So, I mean, I can't even picture that because it's just a crazy, crazy thought. But that, I think that would be my version that I would go with for this game. Next question, is CJ Stroud's success a further indictment on Ryan Day? CJ has looked better as a pro. Obviously, that's been a huge conversation this whole year, I think, with Ryan Day and how he has dealt with the talent that he's had at Ohio State and just the lack of success that he has had with that talent. I think this goes deeper than CJ Stroud. You have some of the most talented wide receivers that have ever been a part of college football. You have Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Marvin Harrison Jr., and you weren't able to get it done with any of those guys, along with having them play with CJ Stroud. I think that definitely is tough. Like, look, last year, last season, that Buckeye playoff game against Georgia came down to the wire. You know, it was a close game. I think there were some bad calls by Ryan Day in that, but at least I think you saw the CJ Stroud that we're seeing now in the NFL in that game. I think that gave people an idea of who he was going to be as an NFL quarterback. So I don't want to completely discount it and say CJ looked horrible in college, because CJ was still a very talented quarterback and had some really great moments like in that game, and was able to really showcase his skills there. So I think it could go both ways. I think it definitely is in some ways an indictment on Ryan Day. And I also think CJ was a much better quarterback in college than I think some people give him credit for. He just maybe didn't get those big wins. But I think a lot of times his production, especially towards the end of his college career, was a really high caliber of play. Okay, last question. What would be defined as success for this season? 1 playoff win or AFC champs? For me, I think right now being in the playoffs, based on everything that's happened this season, is a complete success to me. Even if the Browns lose this game, I would still say that this season was a success because of how much has been working against them, just from day one of this entire season. You know, if we had everyone healthy the entire year, I would probably say playoff win, which is, I believe, what I said at the start of this season on this podcast. But given everything that happened, I think current state right now is a success. Having said that, obviously, you want to get at least 1 playoff win. It would be really cool for this team, for everything that they've been through, everything they accomplished, to get at least 1 playoff win. And that would feel like such a great success for all of the guys and everything they've sacrificed this year. I certainly would not complain about beating the Texans and then facing, I don't know, Baltimore and beating them in their house. Like, those things would be really cool, and I think they have a potential to happen, but I just don't think it's going to change how I feel about this group of players and what they were able to accomplish. Because, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it feels like they're playing with house money this year and this playoffs, that anything extra they can get is just a huge reward and just really cool for them. Okay, that is all I have for you guys today. Hopefully the next time I am speaking to you on here, the Browns will have won a playoff game. That's the hope. Hopefully I'm not coming on here sad, having to dissect a loss and then talk about all the other teams that are going to be participating in the playoffs for the rest of this. Hopefully we are continuing things on, so fingers crossed. But it's going to be a fun game either way. Thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate you all. If you could continue to subscribe on the YouTube, leave comments on the YouTube, how you're feeling about this Browns matchup, just what your feelings are about the playoffs in general for this team, how far you think this team can go. Let me know all of those things in the comments. If you listen on Spotify, Apple, any of those networks, you can leave a review or rating, share with a friend, all of that good stuff. I appreciate you all so much. And hopefully we can continue to say go Browns for a couple of more weeks.